Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Made it to a Friday. Excited for this weekend. Gonna do a whole lot of nothing, hopefully, so it's gonna be great. Got a little bit of a cold, so I'm kind of under the weather today. I might sound a little funky, and sorry about that. I'm trying not to cough or clear my throat too much on here. But got some interesting news topics to touch on today, and hopefully we can enlighten some folks and help other people learn about crypto and cyber stuff. But first, I want to talk about our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. If you need any kind of T-shirts for your business or polo shirts made with your logo, or if you have a funny idea for a T-shirt, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company can make it for you. They can custom design stuff. If you need something designed, you name it, they can do it. So check them out for all your T-shirt needs. The website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Again, southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at eenglish34, at eenglish34 on Twitter. So check me out there if you want to follow me. I retweet all kinds of hacker-related news and crypto-related news. I follow tons of that stuff on Twitter, so I'm always retweeting those articles. And a lot of those articles are what we talk about on the show. So, so there's a few things that I wanted to talk about today. Really just kind of disappointed in the SEC. Yesterday, I believe it was, we didn't do a podcast yesterday, sorry about that. But the SEC denied 8 different, proposals for Bitcoin ETFs. They denied every single one of them. So I guess they weren't good enough for them or whatever. And they came back today and said, oh, we're going to re-review those again. Not sure exactly what that means. That they're going to go back and review it again. Maybe that means that they'll take a look at those proposals again and maybe they might actually approve one. But for now, they've denied all of the proposals that they've got thus far. So we're not any closer to Bitcoin ETF, at least right now. Now, when they say they're going to go back and review it, who knows how long that could take. But it looks like we're going to have to come up with some new proposals to give to the SEC so they can actually approve something. So we'll see how that plays out in the end. It should be interesting to follow the drama along. I was actually really happy today that the market didn't completely freaking tank because of all these SEC decisions that made it really, really nice. Not that the market's really doing all that great. Bitcoin, as of right now, and it's 4:30 on a Friday, it's trading at 6,600. So we're up a little bit. So that's not bad. Bitcoin Cash is at 531. Ethereum's still in the 200s. It's at 280. Wow. Pretty low. Ethereum Classic is trading around 1254. And Litecoin is at $57.90. So it's not doing all that great, but at least didn't completely tank with all these SEC decisions. So that's great news. And I think that the news about the self-regulation and things like that are actually helping. But, you know, whether or not the actual regulation helps, that's yet to be seen. But I think some of that is helping, you know, the skeptical investors that don't trust crypto because of all the, you know, all the trickery and stuff that goes on and people getting scammed out of their money with these fake ICOs and stuff. Of course, the average investor isn't going to want to get into that because they're afraid they're going to get scammed. So with some of this regulation and even the self-regulation is actually probably going to help the market a little bit. But to see that Bitcoin's up at 6,600 is really good to see. Hopefully we keep trending upward over the weekend. We shall see what happens. But keep your fingers crossed there. There was also some news that Coinbase, they've been saying they're going to support other cryptos. They obviously released Ethereum Classic on their platform last week. And they keep saying they're going to support others. And they apparently are displaying the markers for Zero Coin, Bat Token, and one other one, I believe. So that's a good sign that they're going to support more. Hopefully they continue to support more and more of these different currencies. It's only going to help their business too, because they charge fees every time you exchange money and things like that. So the more the better. They haven't actually officially started supporting these. They just listed them. They put their symbols up basically on, or they put the markers, excuse me, up on one of their pages. So that means it's coming. It's just not quite supported officially yet. But it's getting there, so that's good. The BAT token, I think, is kind of interesting. From what I understand, the BAT token is also used with the Brave browser, if I remember correctly. And if you're not familiar with Brave, their browser is freaking awesome. If you haven't used it, you really should. Because it blocks ads and trackers and all kinds of stuff. And it's just built into the browser. You don't have to install any, you know, plugins or extensions or anything like that. Brave blocks all that stuff by default. It is a really freaking awesome browser. It's basically Google Chrome. The base code is Google Chrome, Chromium to be exact. Since that's open source, the folks at Brave took that and created their own browser called Brave. You can go get it at brave.com. I should really be a spokesperson for all these people that I talk about. But brave.com, get the Brave browser. Really, really awesome. No more ads that you don't want to see. So the BAT token is actually part of what they're doing with their browser, where you can actually pay the sites that you go to in BAT token, and you pay them to basically not show you ads, and you're paying them these BAT tokens. So we'll see how that takes off, see how well that does. They give you a bunch of these kind of for free, or at least they have been. Brave has, that is. So interesting to see how that does moving forward. So pretty exciting stuff there. But I really hate ads and trackers and all that stuff, so check out Brave browser, brave.com. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but I'm going to go all the way back to when I was talking about Coinbase, and they're going to start supporting these tokens. They've also talked about supporting other ERC-20 tokens as well. That's good. And the exchange, crypto exchange Bittrex, they're at bittrex.com. They just announced today that they're now allowing US dollars. So you can exchange your crypto for US dollars and cash it out in American money if you wanted to. So that's kind of cool. So now it's not just Coinbase that you can get American dollars anymore. Coinbase seemed to be one of the only ones. So it's good to see another exchange now is doing this. And for all you heavy traders, you don't have to go buy your currency at Coinbase first. You can buy it right at Bittrex and start trading right there on their platform. So that's really cool. I think that's even better to have another place to not only buy into the market, but also cash out when you're ready. Instead of having to transfer it around, So before, you'd have to go buy it at Coinbase with money from your bank account, and then you transfer it, and you get charged all these fees from Coinbase, and fees, Bitcoin fees to transfer it. And, you know, it's just really a shame because you buy $50 worth, let's say. By the time you transfer it over to Bittrex, you'd have about $43, $44. Yeah, I realize it's only $6, but still, you've lost a bunch of that money. So, you know, it's probably, what, 5%? I guess you can look at it as like a... That's more than 5%, gotta be, but... I'm horrible at math, so there'll be no math on this show. But either way, you're losing money when you transfer it around like that with Bitcoin fees and the exchange fees and purchase fees and blah, blah, blah. But of course, that's how Coinbase makes their money, is with all those fees. And when you cash out, of course, they charge you fees to cash out. Of course, right? That's the only way they make money. But... So now you can do that all at Bittrex and no longer have to buy it through Coinbase and transfer it around. So I think that's nothing but good for all the traders out there and people that get in and out of the market like I do. I wait for it to go up and I sell. Then I wait for it to go down a whole bunch and then I buy. And on goes the saga. Buy low, sell high, and you know it's going to go up and down. Right now, I'm not going to buy because it's still going up. I'm going to wait till it tanks a little bit, and then I'll buy some more and sell it when it goes up another couple $100. It's always been kind of my strategy. I don't make a whole lot on it, but make a few bucks here and there. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. I'll take it. But check out Bittrex if you do any trading or exchanging of cryptos. You can now do that out there on their website and cash it out in US dollars. So pretty cool stuff. So I'll post articles to all of those in the show notes, and you guys can all check those out. Jumping over to cybersecurity news, there is a new Apache Struts vulnerability that is getting a lot of attention. We all know Equifax got hit with that one, and the people are just freaking out about this one, saying that everybody has to patch right now. So this is a reminder, if you're using Apache Struts, to get out there and patch it before something bad happens. This is your warning. So even the, what was it? Not the FBI, but U.S. CERT came out and said the same thing, and they were talking about how critical the vulnerability was and basically saying, don't be like Equifax. Patch this, for goodness sakes. So that was a reminder to actually patch that stuff. So I'm hoping that people do. It's only going to hurt you if you don't. So T-Mobile today announced, guess what? They got hacked. 2.3 million customers' data was breached through a leaky API. Wow. I was talking about that a few podcasts ago. How you need to shore up these APIs with Office 365 and anything else that you use that has an API functionality. Hackers are getting in through the APIs now. We open up these APIs for integrations, and people don't think about the security ramifications with those APIs, and they also don't think about how it can bypass two-factor if you go through an API. All kinds of other stuff that you can do with those APIs. So, you know, you can even run commands through APIs. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff to manipulate data or add rules to a mailbox. I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff through the APIs that these companies have created. So any cloud vendor that has an API, you know, Dropbox has an API, Office 365 has an API, Lots of these cloud vendors have APIs for integrations. So if you use any cloud vendors at all, you need to understand what APIs they have and how they're protecting those APIs from misuse. And also, it's really important to understand what data you can derive from those APIs. What can you get out of those APIs? If it's just, you know, benign data that is not sensitive and you really don't care about, okay, then don't worry about it. But if it's anything to do with your customer information or, you know, PCI data, PII data, any of that stuff, HIPAA data, you might want to take a really hard look at that and understand how that works before you decide to choose and go with that cloud vendor. Now, a lot of these vendors have the APIs, but they really need to explain to you and your management team and all your IT executives how they are protecting those APIs and what they're doing about all these new attacks that are going on against APIs as well. If they say, "What are you talking about?" it's time to get a new vendor. I'm sorry. These are happening way, way more often. And I mean, like I said it, I don't know, 6 or 8 podcasts ago, that the hackers were doing that to me at my company. And we're, you know, a pretty small little company. So it happens. It happens everywhere. And these APIs are everywhere. All it takes is one little misconfiguration. The scary part, too, if you create your own API in Microsoft Azure, let's say you've got Office 365 and you've got Azure Active Directory, and you create your own API and you don't give it good enough permissions like old T-Mobile did, guess what? You're gonna get pwned. So seriously, understand what is in those APIs that people can get. How are those APIs protected? What types of authentication are required on these APIs? Can you enforce two-factor on an API? There's lots of questions that you need to ask, and understand the risk to your business if you go with this cloud vendor, and understand exactly what that API does before you sign up for anything. You better make sure that those permissions on the API are restrictive, only allow data to and from particular IP addresses if you can do that. I mean, it really needs to be as locked down as anything else would be, especially because APIs can be brute forced. Typically, it's just a string of numbers. The keys are just strings of numbers. Sometimes it's letters and numbers, sure, depending on the API, obviously. But, you know, there's no symbols in these, so any good brute forcing tool hooked up with a graphics card can brute force its way into an API in a few days, I would suspect. So, you know, two-factor on the API is really where it needs to be, if that's even possible. Sometimes they tie these to API keys. Sometimes they tie it to an account. Ideally, you would tie it to an account that would use two-factor and only allow connections to and from a particular IP address. And you would have to allow that connection with that two-factor and so on and so forth. Just protect it as much as you can. Understand what can be leaked, what you can pull from that API, and just make sure it doesn't happen to you. Seriously, it's happening a lot. So watch out for those hacks. T-Mobile's sending out text messages. I was teasing one of my coworkers today who has T-Mobile. I said, "Hey, did you get a text from T-Mobile yet?" He said, "No, why?" I said, "Oh, they just got hacked." He goes, "No, they didn't." I'm like, "Okay, hold on, just wait a few minutes." Sure enough, we were in a meeting together an hour later. He's like, I just got the text. Yep, they got hacked. So, T-Mobile hasn't released a whole lot of specifics, but apparently Social Security numbers were included in some of this. So, it's your most sensitive data if you're a T-Mobile customer. So, the other part that we don't know is T-Mobile has all these little spin-off companies, sort of like AT&T has Cricket, Sprint has Boost Mobile. I forget what T-Mobile's is, and it's unclear whether or not those customers' data was also compromised. It could have been, but I'm not going to speculate because I don't know for sure. But definitely T-Mobile customers, 2.3 million people. It's a lot, folks. It's a lot of people. A lot of Social Security numbers out there. So it's sad that this happens all the time. It is so sad. And I know some guys that actually work in the cybersecurity department at T-Mobile. Oh, man, I bet they're having a hell of a day. You feel bad, but the problem with big, huge, conglomerate, corporate companies, corporate infrastructure, change is very difficult. Change is so hard to implement, and nobody wants to change. It's too expensive to change. Because there's so much that you have to change. There's so many things you have to purchase or reconfigure or so much manpower, overhead, whatever it is. If you're a huge corporation, change is very, very, very difficult. So even if they knew that this API was leaking data, they may have gone to their boss and said, hey, boss man, this is leaking data. We need to fix it up. Oh, well, we can't do that because it's going to break this integration with this and this integration with that and blah, blah, blah. And lo and behold, here we go. Somebody's stealing all that data now and going to sell it on the dark web. So look out for those APIs, folks. If you create your own, set those permissions as restrictive as you can. Just lock it down, please. Don't let it happen to you. All right. Well, that's all I got for today. It's Friday, and I can barely talk because I'm getting sick, so I'm going to cut it off here, but I want to thank everybody for listening, and shout out to the person on Twitter that hit me up this morning talking about the podcast and how they like it. So thank you for listening. And we will talk to everybody next week. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'm at eEnglish34. All right. Thanks, y'all. Talk next week.